Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our first reading to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that, like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we also shall live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. In Romans chapter 6, the apostle begins a new argument. That is tipped off. We get the clue to that in the first verse when he says, "What shall we say then?" The word "then" has to do with what he has established before. And that argument was in, it encompassed two chapters, chapters 4 and 5. And the end of chapter 3 also, the second half of chapter 3. And in those 2.5 chapters, Paul, using the Old Testament, showing that this is nothing new, has taught that acceptance before God, escaping the wrath to come, we maybe put a few more of those titles in there, that all comes through faith and not from works. That the works that we do really only heap up wrath against the day of judgment because the works that we do are imperfect and unacceptable before God. And so in the last half of chapter 3, chapter 4, and then chapter 5, we learn that it is through the righteousness of another. It is through the righteousness of Jesus Christ, his perfect righteousness. And only in that way are we accepted before God. And that our best works only heap up wrath. Okay, so having established that then, Paul begins this discussion with an imaginary antagonist. And the question that the imaginary antagonist asks is couched in, really it's couched in a different kind of terminology, but it is as if someone has asked, okay, Paul, I got you. You have said that salvation is by grace. It's a gift from God, and it's apart from works, that by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So then, a logical concomitant with that, the next logical step, the next inference from that, Paul, then, is that it doesn't matter how we live, right? And Paul says, absolutely not. It most certainly does matter how we live. And so in the middle of this chapter, when Paul says, you are not under law, but under grace, he is in no way releasing us from obedience to the law of God. Rather, what he is saying is that because we are under grace and justified freely through the grace that is in Jesus Christ, that we are delivered from the power of sin. That sin is no longer our master. That when we are united to Christ, we are united to Christ in more than simply one way. We're united to Christ in the likeness of his death and in the likeness of his resurrection. Being united to Christ in the likeness of his death means that as Christ died, he put sin to death. And so we are to consider ourselves, being united to Christ, dead to sin. As we are raised with Christ, as Jesus Christ himself was raised from the dead, Paul says, you are raised with him that you should walk in newness of life, not according to your former bondage and death, but according to your new life in Jesus Christ. And so in the middle of the chapter, when he says you're not under law but under grace, he's not talking about how we live behaviorally. He's talking about how we are right before God. And because we are right before God according to grace by being united to Christ, so then we ought to live as those who are united to Christ in the likeness of his death, being dead to sin, and in the likeness of his resurrection, walking in newness of life. Now this argument will extend for 3 chapters. This argument is so important to the apostle that it is 3 chapters long, chapters 6, 7, and 8, speaking to the people of God as to how they should live before God, being delivered from their sins, not only from the judicial punishment of their sins, but also being delivered from the bondage, the mastery that sinfulness had over them before. If you belong to Jesus Christ, here's the good news. Not only is there deliverance from the wrath to come in the final judgment, but there's something else. There is deliverance now from the mastery of sin. Sin is no longer your master. Sin is no longer in charge. You have died with Christ to the mastery of sin, and you are now alive unto God through Jesus Christ, that you might walk in newness of life, that you might actually say no to temptation when in the past you could not say no. That there is such a thing as good works that you can do today. Now they are good and acceptable only through the mediation of Christ, and they never rise up to the level of perfection, but they are good in that they come from the Spirit of God, as God's Spirit works in you, putting to death those sins that remain because the overarching principle of the mastery of sin has already been put to death in Christ. So, Paul says, the way you lived before, that only tended toward death. But now, you are alive. You are alive today in a way that you were not before if you believe in Jesus Christ. You have put to death the mastery of sin. Now, with Christ, you are to walk in newness of life. That really is the entirety of the argument. The Apostle Paul is going to go on in chapter 7, Lord willing, this afternoon, we will talk about that. How that while sin's mastery is gone, sin's presence is not gone. And so it does require that we get up every morning and pull on our spiritual boots and do battle. The battle is not over. It is simply won. But it is not completely over. And will not be as long as we are in these skins. And so, in chapter 6 then, Paul lays out the foundation. And the foundation is this. That sin is no longer your master. That you have been delivered from the mastery of sin by union with Jesus Christ. So then, what happens when God changes your heart? You have this wonderful desire now. You have this desire to please God that you didn't have before. You have a desire to set aside your own selfish ways and clamoring for yourself all of the time. You have a completely different focus. You desire to please God. You recognize the frustrations of that desire. That while your desire is to please God, that you find not in yourselves that kind of victory that you're looking for. Oh, you can show some meager progress perhaps, but it is never satisfying. What the apostle would have you know here in chapter 6 is the hope that you can grow, that you can increase, that you can move in a direction away from sin and death and toward Christ in victory. Now, he will put the icing on that cake in chapter 8. We're not there yet. In chapter 6, the foundational argument that you are dead with Christ, that means dead to sin, and alive unto God through Jesus Christ, that means alive to walk in newness of life. And so for those of you who have called upon Christ, and whose heart beats after obedience, know this, that God has provided for that, that you are no longer under sin's mastery, that He has given you an answer to the beating of your new heart. He has given to you a greater and increasing, a growing obedience that we are to walk in, even in this life. We don't have to wait until eternity. We can begin now. So that's the point of Romans chapter 6. Let's stand and call upon the Lord in prayer.